Welcome to episode 919 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
In the shadow of Jerusalem's robust walls, under the vigilant gaze of King Hezekiah, the city bristled with urgent activity. It was 701 BC, and the Assyrian threat under King Sennacherib loomed large, a dark cloud of war threatening Judah's peace. It was during these tense times that the Pool of Siloam was not just constructed, but crafted as a symbol of divine trust and ingenious defiance. Nestled in the southern extension of the city, near the King's Garden, the pool's location was strategic. It lay at the end of an engineering marvel, Hezekiah's Tunnel, an aqueduct that silently defied siege and invasion by channeling the waters of the Gihon Spring directly into the city walls. This spring, outside the city and vulnerable to enemy control, was Jerusalem's lifeline, making its protection or concealment a matter of survival. The construction of the tunnel and the pool was a marvel of planning and perseverance. Imagine the subdued sounds of pickaxes under the cover of night, the gentle drip of water echoing through the newly hewn tunnel, a secretive symphony of survival. Workers excavated over 500 meters of solid rock, working from both ends toward a middle meeting point with an accuracy that mystifies even modern engineers. The air was thick with determination, each strike of the iron a whisper of hope that they would not be discovered. When the tunnel was completed and the waters of the Gihon were redirected, they emerged in the city at the Pool of Siloam, a new construction that served both as a reservoir and a communal gathering spot. Upon first witnessing the clear, cool water gushing forth into the pool, the people of Jerusalem were awestruck. Relief, gratitude, and a renewed sense of divine favor washed over them as palpable as the waters lapped at the edges of the pool. Children splashed in the shallows. Women filled their jars with less fear in their eyes, and elders saw it as a tangible sign of God's provision. The Pool of Siloam quickly transcended its initial utilitarian purpose. For Jerusalem's inhabitants, it became a symbol of God's enduring provision and protection. It was a testament to King Hezekiah's leadership, his foresight, and faith in divine guidance. The pool, fed by waters that flowed unseen beneath their city, reminded them of the unseen hand of God that guided their destinies. It was also a place of purity, where the ritual washing cleansed more than just the dust of the earth, where spirits were refreshed. During festivals, the pool buzzed with activity. Its waters were used for ritual cleansing before pilgrims ascended the Temple Mount, adding a layer of sacred significance to its already vital role. The scent of fresh olive oil and burnt offerings mingled with the crispness of the water's mist, crafting an atmosphere thick with devotion and communal identity. Thus, the Pool of Siloam was not merely a feat of engineering or a tactical victory over Assyrian threats. It was a heartbeat of Jerusalem, a place where the physical and spiritual sustenance of a nation converged. It was a reminder of their resilience and God's promise, echoing through generations like the gentle, persistent flow of its waters. As the sun climbed high in the sky, casting deep shadows along narrow, dusty streets, more than 7 centuries later, Jesus and his disciples wandered through the patchwork of bustling marketplaces and quiet alleys. They moved like a stream, parting throngs of people who paused to whisper and stare, curiosity mingled with suspicion. On this day, they encountered a man known only for his affliction. Born blind, a beggar, he was cloaked in the shadow of the temple walls, invisible yet known to those who passed him daily. His world was one of darkness, where sunlight and shadow never danced, and the vibrant hues of the market's fabrics the golden limestone of Jerusalem's grand structures remained forever unseen. The disciples, puzzled by the sight of him, voiced the question that hovered in their minds, a question entrenched in the teachings of their time. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They sought to unravel the mystery of his suffering through the lens of divine retribution, a common understanding that misfortune was a direct result of sin. Jesus, perceiving the deeper thirst for understanding in their question, replied with a gentle rebuke that shifted their perspective from blame to purpose. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, he explained, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. His words hung in the air, a soft yet revolutionary declaration that every life, even one steeped in hardship, was a canvas for the divine. With the crowd pressing closer, Jesus knelt beside the blind man. The dirt of the ground mixed with the spittle from his lips formed mud, which he then applied to the man's eyes. The cool, damp earthiness contrasting with the dry, warm breeze. Go, he instructed softly. Wash in the pool of Siloam. The name Siloam resonated, meaning scent. It was a name that foretold more than the man or the disciples could yet understand. Obediently, the man stumbled his way towards the pool, guided by the murmurs of the crowd and the familiar scents of the city. Roasting meats, fresh bread, and the underlying mustiness of ancient stones. His heart pounded with a mixture of hope and fear, a rhythm that echoed through his quickening steps. When his hands, trembling, scooped the cool water over his face, washing away the mud, something miraculous occurred. For the first time, light penetrated the darkness that had been his constant companion from birth. Blurred images sharpened into distinct shapes, colors burst forth in vivid display, and the faces of those who had long overlooked him swam into clear view. Rushing back to the place where he had left Jesus, he became a spectacle of wonder and bewilderment. Neighbors and passers-by debated amongst themselves, their voices a cacophony of doubt and amazement. Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some asked. It looks like him, others countered, but he can see. I am the man, he asserted, his voice gaining strength from the truth of his statement and the miracle it encompassed. The man they call Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. His story, simple yet profound, rippled through the community, a foretaste of the greater works and deeper revelations that would follow. This man, once blind, now saw more than just the world around him. He saw the glimpse of a kingdom where affliction meets divine purpose, where darkness serves as a backdrop for the brilliance of light, a kingdom heralded by the one they call Jesus.
John's gospel is the only one that includes the story of the healing of this man born blind. This miracle not only demonstrates Jesus' power over physical ailments, but also spiritual blindness, as it leads to a discourse on spiritual sight and sin. The Pool of Siloam was rediscovered in 2004 during a sewer repair project. Excavations since then have uncovered a large pool from the Second Temple period, which corresponds to the time of Jesus. The steps leading into the pool are consistent with a public ritual bathing place, or a mikveh, which aligns with its use for both practical and ceremonial purposes. Father, thank you for Jesus, who can free us from both physical and spiritual ailments. Give us the faith to submit to your will today. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest. Today.